Hello, guys and gals, me Mudahar, and today we're going to be doing a little bit of a deep dive into probably one of the most evil companies in the world. Now, in the last few days, I talked about Discord, that application that I'm sure all of us use, right? Especially the gamers. Now, you probably heard that Discord is doing a lot of that age verification. And the problem with the age verification is, who are you hiring to do such age verification? Well, in my last video, I actually talked a little bit about a company known as Persona. Not the video game. The video game's actually awesome. But for anybody that doesn't know, Persona is actually a tool that Discord was using, at least in the United Kingdom, to verify its users' age. Now, Persona is a little application that you can view right here on their website with persona.com, and basically it doesn't really, it's just your standard corporate website, right? But ultimately, in the end, they're the ones that are the big companies, one of the big companies involved in verifying if you're an adult or not. Now, whether they take your, personal ID, whether they take your selfie, a lot of that information sometimes doesn't actually leave their server. They might be storing it, they might be harvesting it, they might be using it. Now, depending on what they say, it's up to you to trust them or not. Now, me personally, I don't really trust any of these companies, and I don't think you should either. But in my last video, I looked at a company like Persona, and we kind of linked it to Peter Thiel, one of the big billionaires in the United States, one of the people tied to a company known as Palantir. Now, for anybody that doesn't know what Palantir is, I want to start off this video by kind of front-loading it with that. Why? Because I think it's important to teach the average person what their country is doing, especially if you live in the United States, where Palantir is basically the de facto surveillance tool that the government is using to track all of the people around you, okay? It's crazy out there. It's wild. So let's go dive deep in to not just Discord, but Peter Thiel, Palantir, and the entire mass surveillance state. Now, for anybody that doesn't know, literally a few days ago, Discord decided to implement a global age verification policy where, in March, they're going to be kind of putting every single one of us into a teen account. And while they say they have an AI model that can verify most people as adults, there's going to be cases where some individuals are going to have to be using age verification. Now, for a lot of people, they looked at one of the vendors, at least in the United Kingdom, was known as Persona. Now, Discord kind of responded to this, and I want to read their response. Again, I think it's important that we cover every side of this story. Discord's sitting over there going, "Hold on, guys. Some users in regions outside the UK and Australia may see age assurance prompts when accessing certain features or settings as part of ongoing experiments." Now, I don't know about you and me, but I at least like to be told if I'm part of an experiment, who are you experimenting with? Who are you sending this information to? Now, obviously, Discord, with all the obvious backlash, didn't decide to just cancel this, but at least, from what I'm reading, they've kind of pulled back their connection to Persona. Now, to give you an idea, Palantir Technologies has been around for quite a while. Since May 2003, when they were incorporated out in California, there were actually a few individuals behind here. Peter Thiel, obviously, for anybody that doesn't know, co-founded PayPal and is by far one of the richest investors in the world. Of course, you also have people like Alex Karp, who famously went on stage, I don't know, under the effects of cocaine or whatever, but he is an individual who became the CEO of this company and was probably one of the most paid CEOs at one point. And obviously, it's in his benefit that the government keeps buying his tools to spy on the average person. So, when they first made Palantir, a lot of it was to fight back against PayPal's and sort of making a fraud detection system for PayPal. But the reality is, the feds, specifically the FBI, ended up coming out to PayPal and said, "Listen, your technology is really awesome. Can we end up bringing it for financial crime detection or anything like that?" So at that point, Peter Thiel jumps in and he's like, "Wait a minute, why just finance crimes? What about if we could maybe detect things like terrorist threats?" And of course, remember, this is post 9/11. Remember, when the Twin Towers went down, shit like the Patriot Act started getting passed. People were genuinely afraid of actual terrorism. People still to this day are afraid of actual terrorism. But back then, it was so scary that people were willing to give up actual rights just so they could feel a little bit safer. Let the government read into every single email you got. Let them browse whatever they need because, hey, at the end of the day, if you're safe from whatever bin Laden's out there, then maybe ultimately it's a price worth paying. Obviously, we know now that when you throw the baby out with the bathwater, it ain't exactly a good deal, okay? We made a deal with the devil, and we're still paying for it to this day. So eventually, to give you an idea, a lot of people looked at this company and they were just like, I don't know about it, man. Like, a lot of these VCs. There was one VC in particular, and we talked about it before on this channel, InQtel. Now, for anybody that doesn't remember InQtel, InQtel is a legitimate venture capitalist firm that is solely run by the Central Intelligence Agency. So yeah, the CIA themselves decided to invest around $2 million back in 2004, 2005. And obviously, this wasn't just the CIA investing in them. This was Washington. This was the US government putting their money into this organization. Now, eventually, what actually happened was a whole suite of software ended up being released. So, for instance, the first software of note was Palantir Gotham back in 2008, which basically was a flagship like defense and intelligence software. And of course, what it did was something known as ontology, which basically transformed raw data that was provided from various sources into objects that would represent things like people, places, things, events, so on and so forth. And it would actually start mapping relations between them. So for instance, you could throw in like 100,000 points of data, and it would actually connect all of those points of data with each other depending on how relevant they were. It was crazy. It was awesome. It was what the government wanted. For instance, when it came to the FOIA, which was used to obtain LAPD manuals, it actually showed that Gotham allowed them to, the LAPD in particular, to search by like your name, race, gang membership, I mean, even down to your scars and various identities. They could basically identify anyone. A single individual could have been identified by any various amount of characteristics. And according to the FOIA documents, the LAPD had like 5,000 Palantir accounts. At that point, it was more than like half the LAPD police force. Now, Gotham is basically something that is run across all over the Department of Defense. So whether you're in the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, yeah, Palantir is basically like the bread and butter of these like intelligence agencies. Palantir is one of those companies that if you Google up right now, you probably wouldn't get a straight answer. Somebody actually has to dig through the trenches to tell you what they actually do. They are a mass surveillance company, and their actual utility spreads far and wide. And a lot of it is, in a way, very controversial to an extent. So for instance, a lot of people probably know of somebody known as Edward Snowden, especially if you watch my channel. I've talked about Edward Snowden, especially in the context of something known as PRISM, where a huge leak came out showing how far the government was in bed with a lot of big tech companies, where like it came out that, you know, the big tech companies were effectively backdooring themselves over to the US government. So for a lot of people, their personal information could just be grabbed at any moment without a warrant, without any form of, you know, without any form of legal protection that the people should have. And one of those things that, you know, Edward Snowden in particular showed was something known as X Keyscore Helper, which was a Palantir tool that was allowing the NSA analysts at the time to import data from the X Keyscore forensic system that they had, which collected things like your emails, your chats, your pictures, documents, so on and so forth. Basically, when it comes to mass surveillance and mapping out data across the world and spying on the citizens, Palantir is sort of the technical strength, the third-party company that everyone sort of hires when they want to spy on anybody out there. That is their job. That is their bread and butter. That's how they make their money. When it comes to predictive policing, you probably watch movies like Minority Report, where they can decide if you're guilty, basically, or if you're a threat before you actually even commit crimes. And to an extent, that kind of exists in the real world, especially when it comes to things like Palantir's like predictive policing systems, where again, even in secret arrangements back in 2012 all the way up to 2018, they were operating in areas like New Orleans. It was so secret that the city council members were actually unaware of the fact that there was actually a system that was analyzing their citizens. And of course, they would analyze things like criminal history, social media, of course, obviously the gang affiliations that we learned that they were doing during their time and stint out with the LAPD, probably still there to an extent. And they would even create like a list because they could map out connections of people that could be potential victims and perpetrators. Like, you ever play the game Watch Dogs and you see how the CTOS can predict if somebody's gonna be a victim or a possible crime is gonna be happening? It's crazy to think that that was actually a reality. That actually is a thing that happens in the world, right? And again, you have to dig into the trenches. You really have to research Palantir to know the stuff is happening around you. Even when it comes to things like ICE, for instance. Now, a lot of people talk about immigrations and customs enforcements and, you know, kicking all the illegals out of the country. Now, the thing about the illegal migrant situation or whatever you want to get into is it's a hotly debated political issue, but it's one of those things that's similar to 9/11 to me. And the reason I say this is because it's kind of a massive, like, tragedy. It's a massive political, it's a massive galvanizing force that a lot of the government, a lot of these private organizations are taking advantage of, basically in the sense that Palantir exists to sell a surveillance product to the government, which in this case would be something that you probably have heard of as Immigration OS. In April 2025, ICE signed a $30 million no-bid contract for Immigration OS, which basically allowed Palantir, was actually something that was built on top of it, it's the Immigration Lifecycle Operating System. And it provides almost near-time visibility on the movements of migrant individuals, using, obviously, artificial intelligence and the various data points that Palantir is so good at mapping out. And alongside things like ELITE, which is the Enhanced Leads Identification and Targeting for Enforcement, it would basically map out the potential deportation targets, it would create dossiers, it would basically apply a confidence score to various addresses that ICE could hit, and basically give a reasonable assessment that the address you're about to hit is probably going to be filled with illegals. Now, the reason why I was kind of tying this to 9/11 is that at the end of the day, regardless of what you think, Immigration OS is mass surveillance. It's predictive policing on the federal crack-enabled level, okay? It's insane levels of mass surveillance that people are kind of looking at, thinking that, oh, they're just going to be using this to crack down on illegal migrants. Well, do you think if they're going to develop this technology that they're just going to massively forget about it like some point down the road? No. They're going to use it against the next target that the government wants to go against. And that could be somebody that is legally allowed in the United States. However, they might be somebody that is a political dissident, somebody that is speaking against the system. Right now, we are at a pivotal point that unless you speak against this shit, and if you let it happen, this is the reason why I've been talking so much about age verification, your privacies, things like self-hosting. It's not because that in a year from now I'm going to be living on a farm in complete, you know, solitude from general public. I don't know, maybe. I have no idea. I can't predict the future. Maybe Palantir can. But the idea of it is that if you don't fight against it now, if you don't raise awareness to it now, the world will look very different in the next 5, maybe 10 years. And in the next 10 years, we might be living in that cyberpunk dystopia where getting spied on and having an opinion is something that actually is going to be treated pretty illegally. It's going to be where, you know, you might not really be allowed to speak your mind because maybe there are powers that be that don't want you to speak your mind and they don't want you to rise up and step against the grain. Now, there's something about Peter Thiel that is super interesting to me. Back in October, literally in 2025, not that long ago, literally a few months, you might have looked up that Peter Thiel was hosting these like four-part lectures in San Francisco talking about the Antichrist. Now, for full context, Peter Thiel wasn't talking about the Christian idea of an Antichrist. I think Peter might fit more into that, if anything. But to give you an idea, Peter Thiel was talking about the Antichrist being like a Luddite who literally didn't care about, like, you know, understanding, somebody that wanted to stop all forms of science. So people like Eliza Yudkowsky, you know, who literally is an AI safety advocate for crying out loud, right? Basically anybody that can, you know, talk about raising regulations or awareness in the dangerous spaces that he operates, he doesn't like it. Because if you get in front of Peter Thiel and his money, not even just his money, if you get in front of him and his power, he's gonna go fucking batshit insane. This slimy scumbag piece of shit will find everything that he can to convince people in Washington to buy his shitty products and give up your freedoms if it means a slightly higher net worth and slightly more power. So again, I want you to understand, this is who the current government has decided to partner with. A fucking nutjob, batshit insane, authoritarian fuck. That's who. Now, to give you an idea, I don't want to walk into this video and not paint Peter Thiel as the scumbag he is without any evidence to back it up. Obviously, I think there's plenty out there, But really, one of the most important pieces of evidence that I think kind of exists is the fact that he is a really, really close friend with guys like, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, for instance. Now, for anybody that doesn't know, literally a couple weeks ago, there was a massive disclosure release, like 5 million documents that released about Jeffrey Epstein. I'm still making videos on it. There's still things in the pipeline. I've made plenty of videos covering it because there's just so much information. But more specifically, there actually is around 2,281 files that exist showing emails and conversations between Peter Thiel and Jeffrey Epstein, mentions in the files alone with Peter Thiel. So he is by far one of the most mentioned guys in the archive. Now, to give you an idea, the relationship began somewhere around 2014, long after Epstein's actual conviction. So Peter Thiel, given the fact that he knows pretty much everything about everyone, should have actually known the kind of person that he was getting friendly with. So there was at least half a dozen scheduled meetings between people like Peter Thiel and Epstein from 2014 all the way to 2016. And a lot of them actually at Epstein's like New York townhouse. And again, you can verify and look these up yourself in the Epstein files. Heck, I can show you a few emails on the screen right now. They were actually quite buddy-buddy. Peter Thiel took great, great, great judgment. Now, the important part about this is Epstein is kind of tertiarily related to this entire situation because even he invested $40 million into Valor Ventures, a fund managed and originally co-founded by people like Peter Thiel back in 2015 and 2016. Now, that investment that Epstein made actually grew to around $170 million. Making it effectively one of the largest assets at the time in Epstein's estate. And of course, people like Ehud Barak, who was the former Prime Minister of Israel, no doubt, was also describing that fund at the time as co-founded by both Thiel and Epstein. So they were not just monetarily related, but it seemed like they were actually pretty good friends. And even though Thiel's spokespeople will say that there's no co-ownership, they still confirm that Epstein was a limited partner in this case. Again, I think there needs to be an investigation in this right here, okay? Because, I don't know, I think there's probably a lot more than money. These people seemed very buddy-buddy with each other, and I want to know the extent of that relationship. Because if this scumbag is allowed to know everything about me, I think we should know everything about him, too. It's only fair. Now again, I don't want to sit there and say that, you know, Thiel is a criminal because he's so associated, but I think it's worth the investigation. And I think if the government had any fucking testicles, they would pursue some investigation on pretty much anybody associated with Epstein at the time. But importantly, it was this company, these venture firms that were connected to, you know, companies like Persona. So it makes you kind of wonder, right? Like Persona, the actual tool, the experiment that was used by Discord. It is connected to people like Peter Thiel, monetarily. Why is somebody like Peter Thiel, who believes that he knows better than you, believes that democracy and freedom are no longer viable products to be sold to the American people, why is he investing money into an age verification system that coincidentally grabs selfies, grabs a ton of identification off people, and promises that they'll delete it? I mean, promises are promises. I mean, who knows what's going on in those servers? Last I checked with Discord, last time they tried grabbing people's IDs, it ended up getting leaked out to the public to grab. Peter Thiel is one of the richest guys in the world. And he's somebody that craves power. He's somebody that knows how to obtain that power. He's somebody that knows that whoever controls the surveillance game is somebody that's going to be around for the long term. Because surveillance is one of those products that is always, always in demand by the government. And Discord is actually just a small piece of this puzzle. Remember, Discord is the most normie used communications platform out there. It's not just gamers that use it, everyone uses Discord. And I think with what happened with Discord the last few days, I think the best thing to happen from it is this discussion. That we know that these age assurance platforms are not only dangerous for you when it comes to your personal privacy, but also when you start to look at where they're getting their money from, and it's all these mass surveillance organizations, maybe it's time we reassess this shit and we stop allowing these companies to operate in the fields that they are. Because look, ultimately it's up to you to decide if this is a fight worth having. I personally believe it is, but really, I make these videos to try and wake up the average person. And I hope, since we're nearing the end of the video, you're kind of waking up a little bit and realizing that this shit ain't normal, man. I think ultimately the end of it, people like Peter Thiel should stay far away from our personal identification, from our government, from the ability to regulate what we can and cannot do. I think it's insane that we're at a point where we need to honestly be talking about it. You know, years ago, I'd be playing stupid video games on this channel. Years ago, I'd be looking at stupid 4chan mysteries. I'd be looking at things like Club Penguin servers run by derelict idiots on the internet. I'd be looking at things like, you know, Alex from Tennessee all over 4chan. But there is something genuinely scarier than all of that. And it's the power these people are actually gaining at an alarming rate. Look, I think the internet is one of those things that's the last bastion of real human connection and real human freedom. We don't really have freedom anymore, regardless of where you live, right? Like, you're always being watched, you're always being spied on. Shit's getting way more expensive every single fucking day of our lives. And it sometimes seems like the next day is becoming an uncertainty. And it's difficult not to stop doom scrolling. I mean, it's all around us. Doom and gloom is everywhere. And it's one of those things where the internet and the last way for us to truly be free, truly live in a digital space even, where we can communicate to somebody from all across the world. You know, when I look at communities on the internet, when I look at the world for what it is, I think, I don't joke when I say the last bastion of real freedom is the internet. You know, it's the last place that we can actually anonymously talk. You know, when I did dark web browsing every single Sunday years ago, you know, before I found every single dark web website visiting, yeah, there was a lot of fucked up stuff that came from anonymity, but there was a lot of communities that came around talking about stupid, goofy shit, people who could genuinely voice an opinion and talk about what was on their mind without feeling like Big Brother was watching them, without feeling like some government entity knew every single thing about them, and eventually the hammer would come down and they would just be disappeared. I feel like that's a fleeting memory, because for people like Peter Thiel, it's not about just unmasking every single human person on the internet. It's about invoking a level of fear into the discussions that we're allowed to have. The government wants to dox every single person on the internet. They want to monitor every single bit of communication that we have. Because I think ever since the internet was created, the powers that govern us realized how scary of a technology it is, right? Letting people share information unfettered. Letting people communicate with each other unfettered. Letting people talk to each other unfettered. You know, there's a reason I use a lot of self-host technologies, and I talk a lot about end-to-end encryption. Hell, I even showed you guys how to use PGP encryption to share messages back and forth across normie communication channels. Because I think you have a right to privacy, and I think people have a right to talk to each other. People have a right to share information without being surveilled, without being monitored, without feeling scared to speak what's on their mind. There's a lot of places in the world where you can't speak what's on your mind. Look at what's happening in Iran, for instance, right now. That, to an extent, could start happening in places like the United States. They could dox every single person out there, and it means speaking against the government becomes a near impossible thing to do. We shouldn't tolerate that, and we shouldn't let it happen. And we shouldn't be allowing companies like Palantir and people like Peter Thiel and Alex Karp to be the arbiters of what we're allowed to do on the internet and control our discussions. And ultimately, harvest all of our data and do God knows what with it, you know? That's all I have to say. But it's getting late. I'm sure I've been yapping longer than you probably wanted to listen in, but keep what I said, especially in the last 5 minutes of this video, as some food for thought. If you like what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe. Dislike it if you dislike it. I'm out.